Yeah, but I haven't seen a butt since high school.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to the A to Z Horrorcast. This is the Creative the Town podcast brought to you by us over at A to Z Horror. I'm Jack, and sitting across from me is Jake.
And we're definitely ending the evening with poutine, Jack.
And sitting next to Jake is someone else who thinks that your spokesperson should be Charlton Heston and Stalin playing shuffleboard. It's Mark.
Holograms of those two, actually.
Holograms of those two, absolutely. For those of you unfamiliar with our Cracker Jack operation, we watch and review one horror movie a week, and then we get drunk and argue about it. This week, we watched 2015's, but maybe 2016's, or maybe a different year's, The Interior. This is a Canadian film. It's not À l'intérieur. It's not Inside. It's not The Inside. There's a whole lot of movies. It's The Interior from 2015 or 2016 or 2014, maybe.
But good luck finding
it,
though.
That's the movie we
watched. Somewhere in that range.
Jake pick, maybe? Question mark?
You got it. I thought you were glitching out. It was a me, yeah.
He's doing a weird combination of actually glitching out and talking really, really fast.
And that makes it way harder for us than it already is, which is significantly challenging.
So anyway, we'll dive all the way into that real soon. And when we do, we're going to spoil the nonsense out of it. So fair warning on that front. And hey, we don't have a Patreon going anymore, but do something you can for someone who needs it. And in the meantime, we just appreciate you being here and hanging out with us in the horror world. Mark, it's been so long since we've recorded one of these suckers, and I'm still
not even used to the cadence of the new intro. We got back on a new schedule, and then we immediately got off track.
That'll happen.
But that's what Thanksgiving does to the world.
Absolutely. So, boys, you know what that means. It's time to getting drunk part, so that score. Let's do Beers for Fears. That was almost a sentence. Mark, what are your beers for these fears?
I don't have a beer. I have a cider. I am drinking a Happy Camper Wild Cider. I don't know who makes this. Kindred Cider.
Never heard of it.
Didn't look at the label before I bought it.
Where are they from?
God, I don't know. It doesn't say on here.
These are the important questions.
Westminster, Maryland.
Jeez, okay.
Co-op beer, the fancy section. But I couldn't pass up something called Happy Camper by.
Yeah, you always have to go with the name thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's my thing.
God forbid if you don't do a name thing.
I also don't know what a wild cider is, so I'm excited to figure that out.
I don't know. It's probably like a wild
ale. It's like a sour, yeah.
Yeah.
Spontaneous.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, Mark, I like that. I myself am drinking a D-Fermentation X, which is a golden beer IPA, golden ale IPA mix. I don't really know what it is. It's from Beer Lab Hawaii. It says IPA and Golden Ale on it both, and I didn't have time to ask the bartender about what it is. But this is about a movie of a guy who he's too fermented by city life and this big modern world of ours, and he's all lost. He needs to de-ferment himself from all of it. Just kind of start over. So that's what he's doing. That's what I'm doing.
Fuckers.
It's a good beer, Jack. I'm very perplexed because this is good. It tastes good, but it smells like baby poop.
That's intriguing.
Stop it.
Smells like baby poop. Smell that.
It doesn't not.
Yeah.
Well, I'm happy to report that the D-Fermentation X tastes a lot more like an IPA than a golden ale. If I didn't know anything about it, I would just think it was an IPA. So there you go.
I don't understand. So.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Either way, that's what I got. Jake, how about yourself?
Red wine. Red wine. That I stole from my wife.
I see.
Jesus
stole from your wife.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you'll find.
There's a little Jesus in all of us, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's the message of this movie. Right? That was what I got from it.
We are gonna get into the message of this fucking movie.
Yeah. That's the clearest message I could take from this movie,
yep.
I think.
It's a very clear message, this one. It's red wine. It's red wine. He drinks red wine. Jesus drinks red wine and says, sorry, thanks.
I ate some of that. And so what else did he eat? So wine and something else.
I don't know. Did he eat something?
Oh,
he took a shower.
The wine and the hot water. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what he says.
He took a shower and drank. Take the fucking bottle of wine. It's going to come back up in nitpicks.
Well, before we start talking about that movie, we got to talk about what else has been rocking our horror worlds. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to go first because I don't have very much.
Oh, okay. I thought it was going to be the opposite of that.
No, I have the opposite of that.
God
nope,
damn it.
It's been busy
Stop.
For me. I've I watched a few things. Nothing really worth talking about because it's all stuff we've seen and talked about before. But the big one I want to talk about is I watched The Pope's Exorcist.
Yeah, you
recently
did.
Recently in
yeah,
a bout of insomnia.
Go, Jack, go.
Yeah, okay.
This movie's great.
This movie is simultaneously a lot better than I thought it'd be
and so,
pretty
so
fun
bad.
And also one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my whole fucking life.
Okay, explain how those two coexist. So explain how those two coexist.
It's kind of fun. It's kind of fun. Russell Crowe is doing, he is committing so hard to his terrible Italian accent.
Okay. Riding a Vespa everywhere.
And there's no reason for him to have an Italian accent. They indiscriminately just speak English sometimes, sometimes with British accents. Sometimes they speak Italian and it's subtitled for 20 minutes for no fucking reason. They just switch languages for no reason.
High art.
I mean, it'd be weird if the chief exorcist for the Diocese of Rome couldn't speak Italian.
Well, yes, but when he is talking to other Vatican officials in the Vatican, they would be speaking Italian, probably not
probably
English with a very bad Italian accent. That
well, that they
to
certainly
so
would not
hard.
Be
hearing.
Yeah, it's like it's like when you played Assassin's Creed 2 and you could turn on Italian mode sometimes. You know?
It's kind of like, I mean, it's. I like a show like Chernobyl, right? That just decides, fuck it, we're not
yes.
doing dialects
yeah.
or languages.
I like perfect. I like perfect things.
Yeah, I like that too. But this is a strange combination of never actually choosing to make that choice and just doing different things at random parts. Also, Mark, you were right. Russell Crowe does ride a what I assume to be 35cc maybe Vespa scooter from Rome
from
to Spain.
Rome to fucking Spain, baby.
To Spain, just puttering along on his little Vespa. It's
sounds
nuts.
Like something out of Dumb and Dumber.
And then he uses, I mean, kinda. And then he uses it to pull a giant, heavy-ass stone off an old well.
Sure does. Can I tell you the thing I was not expecting about this movie that I did not care for?
Okay.
Is how much, I mean, I guess it's not surprising how much Roman Catholic Church apologizing it does. But in the course of this movie, it says that the Roman Catholic Church is not in any way at fault for priests
the
abusing
Crusades.
Young boys. And then later, that the church had nothing to do with the Crusades. That was all the devil.
How,
and
hold
not
on, how
the
is
Catholic
this,
church.
How is it brought up within the context of the movie, though?
It's kind
Russell
of
Russell Crowe.
Is it?
Who gives a
no
shit?
One, no one
Russell Crowe discovers that the devil got into this priest, bishop, maybe? I don't know.
Got into.
Yeah. Got into.
Okay.
Got, in, all got up in there. Guts.
Okay.
And took him all the way over. And then from there, just concludes that that's why the Crusades aren't our fault.
He finds the skeleton of a famous priest that is famous for having convinced Queen Catherine or something, one of the queen at the time, to do the first
the
Crusades crusade.
Queen.
Yeah. Yeah, the Crusades queen.
The words we're using to describe things right now are quite humorous.
Can
to
me. You
to do the crusade.
There's a whole scene Catholic. In this movie where they explain that the devil makes young boys try to seduce priests, but the young boys are, the priests see them as attractive of age women.
No way.
And it's boys that are actively seducing. You, on screen, you see them as attractive women, but they are actively seducing the priests. And then we learn that because it's the devil, he's disguising these young boys.
There's no way.
That happens in this fucking movie. It's unbelievable.
I don't like that.
It probably should be said that this is a movie based on a book written by the titular, not titular, but the main character, Father Amorth, who is apparently an actual...
Oh, so
he claims to be an exorcist.
This is like the
he's
belief.
He's the titular Pope's exorcist.
He is, yeah, okay. He is the titular Pope's exorcist. I was going to say his name.
Got it. So like,
but I also forgot
so
what his
like
name
the
was.
Whole molestation thing, that's his way to explain it away.
I don't know what, I mean, I haven't read the book, obviously.
I'll tell you what, I'm not going to either.
Yeah,
not this
exactly.
one. Nope, not today, Satan.
So it's hard to say like what part of that is from the book and what part of that was from
today,
like the script writers. But
holy shit. And that comes not too far. The distance between saying that it's the boys who are seducing the priests because of the devil and that the Crusades weren't the church's fault, there's not that much space between those two discoveries.
It's a great movie. You should watch it.
This is.
It was more fun than I expected, though. I will say that.
This is surprisingly
it's
dark.
Almost entirely because of how hard Russell Crowe's committed to this nonsense thing he's doing.
Yeah, if this movie didn't have Russell Crowe in it, it would be atrocious. But since he's in it, it's like weirdly watchable.
Is he the perfect person for that role? Could there be someone who's better in that role than him?
Probably, but I don't have a good example.
He thinks like he's treating this like it's an Oscar role for
yeah,
him.
It's, yeah, it's a full, it's like a it's a master him. And commander type of performance.
Yeah, I mean, like yes. I'd love to
like,
see like Daniel
unbelievable
Day-Lewis,
performance
you know?
In like the stupidest fucking waste of a movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, but then he's talking about how the Crusades weren't the church's fault.
Well, that's the script. There's nothing he can do.
I get the feeling a lot of it wasn't the script. I don't think it was Russell Crowe's choice.
You think okay, he ad-libbed that?
Fucking Russell Crowe's up here just. Spin.
Oh yeah, that guy. That's Friar Joe. He did the Crusades. He must have been. He must have been possessed the whole time.
I do believe it was Russell Crowe's choice to only get around on that scooter always and forever. That was his choice.
That's just
I think
bit. That's fine. That's fine. That's not him.
Anyway,
you gotta have a bit.
Okay, we've spent too long on this fucking movie.
I watched that movie. I watched The Thing again because The Thing is so fucking good. And I started the new Exorcist movie and then turned it off because I was not happy.
Oh yeah, it's I saw to that be it's winter available time. Now on something.
It is available time. On something. I think it's Peacock.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I'll have
that's
that. I'll have that watched by the next time we record, probably.
Jake, how about you? I might give it another shot. It was too close to the Pope's exorcist for me.
Too much exorcism in one day.
Any amount of exorcism is too much exorcism in one day. I don't like
that's
exorcism.
That's simply untrue.
It would take so much for me to watch another exorcism movie at this point. There's just like zero desire. I watched VHS 85.
Nice. I still watch that.
In many sittings. This movie is 2 hours long, and it's kind of hard to sit down and watch a movie in one go these days. But I watched VHS 85. It is a VHS movie, guys.
Oh,
can
shit,
you believe
that's
it?
Out.
Can you believe it?
I totally forgot that's out.
After I said it like eight times.
Yeah, Jake. Yeah. Jack.
It's fine.
That was like 2 minutes after he said what he
I
watched.
Start talking, he tunes out.
Yeah.
I do the same. It's fine.
It's okay. I took a bite of cupcake.
There's very.
At least I didn't lean away from the mic like you do.
Boom.
He could have been talking about you. He could have been talking about you.
I was talking about you, buddy, Jake.
Look, here's the deal. If you like VHS movies, you're going to like this one. I think this is... I really want to do like a fully committed deep dive to going back and like watching all the VHS movies. Yeah. And then power ranking every single... I've wanted to do this for like a year.
12 straight hours movie marathon.
I kind of want to do it. I'm not joking. Like, I want to have a full-on podcast about it, so I'm not going to get too deep on the different segments this time. But it is a good one. I think 85 is a really good fit for the VHS thing in general. It has a stronger frame narrative than general, and there really isn't a super weak segment. I have some complaints with like continuity type things or choices that they made in terms of how much screen time one thing gets versus another, but it's fun. The other thing that I'll have to say about this is I felt like they went into this one and everyone had a task, which was to really ratchet up the gore as much as they could for this one. And they did a pretty damn good job, which and obviously it works well. Again, like if you're doing 85, like think back to what horror movies were like then. There was a lot of like outlandish over the top shit kind of hits here in that VHS-y way. So it felt like a really good addition to this series. I think
is there like,
I'm going to not say if, but when we go back and do all that, this is going to be, it's going to have a lot of segments that are high.
Is there
on the list.
Is there like a random, completely unnecessary scene of a topless chick? That'd be 1985.
Yeah. See there. No question mark.
Missed the era.
I did. So there's, I'm saying no question mark for two reasons. One, I watched this quite some time ago. And two, if it happens, it's in the first segment. And I would say it's fleeting. Not super completely unnecessary.
Oh, okay.
I mean, unnecessary is a weird way to put that, Mark.
I have a question.
Yeah, for sure.
Obviously, this series has bounced around a lot in terms of how they do the frame narrative or if they do one. What is the vibe with this one?
There is a frame narrative. I think it's strong. There are segments that it cuts to that continue the frame narrative between each of the actual segments.
They've all had frame narratives.
They have
all had frame narratives.
One of them was like barely there though, right?
That's what I'm thinking of.
99?
Yeah.
I can't remember. 99 was the one where there was the SWAT
94,
team.
94, 94, 90. No, yeah, it was. What was the one that like was barely there? This is why we need to do this fucking
one of them job. Was barely there. I do remember one of them barely existing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This one does not barely exist. This one is quite a part of it.
Hell yeah.
If you want to talk about quickly who was a part of this though, frame narrative was done by David Bruckner, who like fucking solid. No Wake is a segment that was done by Mike P. Nelson. He did like Wrong Turn. There's one called God of Death, done by G.G. Saul Guerrero, who did some of the Purge series and an Into the Dark film. Another one was directed by Natasha Kermani, who did the movie Lucky. I think both of you guys saw that. I did not. And Scott Derrickson did a segment. So it has your usual cast and some other new people who haven't been involved yet.
Lucky was a very strange movie that Jack liked a lot more than I did.
I didn't remember. I remember the vibes not being great around that one.
Yeah. Shudder is where it is.
It's on Shudder right now.
Yeah. I just remembered kind of as you were doing that. The frame narrative that was like the least amount of frame narrative was the one that I think it was 99 where they're cutting back to like the kid playing with the action figures. And then it ends up just being
is that
99?
Did they have 299?
94 is the one where it's the SWAT team in the church.
Yeah. They
99 is the one where the frame narrative for the first two just ends up being like the third or fourth segment.
Every single thing that we add to this or say just makes me more committed to doing the deep dive because I had already forgotten there were two different 90s movies.
I'm down.
Let's do it. The next draft is just go study
just,
and then reconvene.
Just all VHSs?
Yeah, I mean, we'll just have to basically like not record for a month and just watch VHSs and then...
Well, at that rate, we'll be watching VHS movies for the next 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
It's true. There'll be one that comes out as we're doing the actual episode and we'll have to do it all over from the beginning.
Yeah. That's how you get behind on this stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
What else?
Snowballs on
That's
you.
That's what I
Gotta
had.
Keep it moving. Gotta keep it
That's
moving, Jake.
That's all I had.
All right, so. Mark. You have 45 seconds to talk about your things.
Okay, well, while we're talking about extremely dumb movies that are wildly forgettable.
Not VHS.
I will never forget The Pope's Exorcist.
I will never forget that movie.
I watched Insidious, The Red Door. This is on Netflix.
Is the new one called... Hannah was talking about this to me earlier, and I pretty confidently told her The Red Door came out like 4 years ago.
That was the last key.
I owe her an apology.
Yeah, The Last Key came out a while ago, also sucked. The Red Door came out in 2023, is on Netflix, and also sucks.
Okay.
That's it. Little kid Fair? Who from the first movie is back playing himself, not himself, but... They got the same actor to come back, and now he's in college. So you have like the scariness of the fact that he's aged, and so have I.
I mean, that's
honestly
scary.
That's the scariest part about this whole movie. It's so fucking stupid. I'm gonna keep rolling on the Hollywood level like blockbuster shit. Meg 2, The Trench. This one's on HBO. Have either of you guys seen it? The Meg 1.
Yes, absolutely. It's delightful.
Okay, then you would like The Meg 2. It's exactly the same amount of delightful. It's basically the movie underwater for the first half, and then the movie The Meg 1 for the second half. It's amazing. So it's a perfect combination of Jason Statham and sharks.
That sounds great.
Yeah, exactly. Jake's eating a cupcake, so he's not going to weigh in here, but it is on HBO. We're eating cupcakes.
Yo, shark movies don't need to exist.
Listener,
that's my input.
It was my birthday like a few days ago, and we made way too many fucking cupcakes.
Happy belated birthday.
Now we're all having
Jaws
cupcakes.
Exists, therefore I don't
I'll
need
tell you, I'm reading the Wikipedia page for the movie Lucky from 2017, and I don't remember this fucking at all. Did I pull up the wrong movie here?
I thought Lucky was the one where there's like the lead protagonist lady gets attacked by the same serial killer guy every day.
Yeah. It's like Happy a weird... Death Day?
No.
Oh, the one with Vince Vaughn?
Weird domestic violence thing
that's
going
freaky.
On. I think this has domestic violence overtones.
Okay, Lucky is a not this. It's about a guy with a tortoise in the desert, and I don't remember this fucking
you
at
must,
all.
You must have somehow found a different movie called Lucky, as hard as that could be to believe. Why would you?
I was trying to... Mark said I liked it a lot better than him, and I have no memory of that movie whatsoever.
Well, it's not a movie about a tortoise in the desert.
You blatantly... Well, I mean, metaphorically, it could be.
I Googled...
It is a horror movie.
I Googled Lucky movie, and that's what came up.
How about
okay?
trying Lucky horror movie?
Yeah.
It's called Lucky, dude.
Okay.
That is the
plot you described to me sounds pretty similar.
You're so mad at him for pulling up a movie of the same name.
I'm not mad at all.
Christ.
Oh, the Brie Grant movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked that movie quite a bit.
There you go.
Jesus.
Also called Lucky, yeah, from 2020.
And it's not about a tortoise in a desert?
It is not about a 90-year-old atheist who has a pet tortoise and lives in the desert.
Is it about a group of megalodons that live below a climocline or something like that in the
Sounds right.
in the ocean?
Yes, Bree Grant plays a megalodon.
Was the word I was trying to come up with.
Bree Grant plays the chief megalodon. I'd watch that.
Bree Grant is a megalodon?
I'd watch Bree Grant do anything.
I would follow her to hell.
Yeah. The Meg 2 is exactly what you expect it to be. So if you expect it to be good, it is good. If you expect it to be Jaws, then it's not as good, but you should watch it anyway, Jake. Heck, bring a little love and
I'm not.
And happiness
I never once expected it to be Jaws.
Well, yeah. Okay,
I don't expect anything to be Jaws.
That's valid.
You have a disaster unfolding right there in front of you.
Inverted itself spontaneously.
Listener, we have never been
less
serious.
We are on top of shit.
We are deeply unserious today. Bringing cupcakes into the studio.
Especially.
Oh, my God. Oh, fuck.
It's so top heavy.
It's over. It's over.
It's so top heavy. I can't
it's over.
Get it to stand
you know what?
Up.
Cut it. Cut. The recording's over.
A Haunting in Venice is the next
movie
I'd like to talk
why?
About. What do you mean, why? This is an actual
talk about
good
this already?
Movie. No.
Okay.
Do you know...
The Pope's Exorcist.
Didn't I just watch this?
No, but you should. You should.
Oh,
you guys
should.
Know
is
what
it
this
actually
one is.
Good?
It.
Okay.
Yes,
it's
actually
fine.
Good.
Yeah. It's... I just... The name alone does make me mad. Now I'm mad. But I'm mad about the name.
I'm also mad at Italy for some reason because of that movie.
I mean, that'll happen.
Blank,
yeah.
Blank of or in blank.
Technically, Vatican City is not part of Italy.
Annoying.
So, I mean.
That's true. It will. Don't. Yeah. Don't do that.
So check your sources, Jack. Check yourself
and
your sources.
And yourself. Before you wreck both your sources and yourself. Mark, was this movie good?
Yes. Nah. Yeah. No, I'm a big fan of all the Kenneth Branagh, Hercule Poirot movies. They're really fun. I love a good detective story. You're looking at me so incredulous.
I didn't
I
know what you said.
It.
I couldn't make out the words that came out of your mouth.
So it's the same like universe as the Murder on the Orient Express.
Okay.
And
Johnny
Death
Depp
on the
one?
Nile. No.
Okay.
That's the one with the tortoise.
Wait. Maybe Johnny Depp was in Murder on the Orient Express. I think he was.
He was in a version of the... There have been like four film versions. He was in the most recent one.
Yeah, okay, then yes. It's been a minute since I've seen Orient Express. Whatever, they bring in these like huge casts to do adaptations of all of these famous stories.
Yeah.
Haunting in Venice is the one that just came out, I want to say like September. It's now on Hulu.
Okay.
Obviously, normally it's just a murder mystery. That's what all of them are. This one is set against the backdrop of a haunted orphanage.
Uh-huh.
So
and horror ensues.
Yeah, I mean, you know what you're
horror
getting.
Jason or horror?
It's horror. It's horror-ish, but like they're making this as horror-y a movie as they can while not labeling it as horror.
Okay.
Where there are movies that are labeled as horror that are not scary, that are more horror because of like a criticism they're making of the world.
Yeah, sure.
They are the exact opposite of this one, where it is a dead straightforward murder mystery.
Sure, and it has some
that has like jump scares and shit in it.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Highly recommend it. I mean, especially if you're into that, like, whodunit murder mystery type shit.
Okay.
Which I am.
I mean, Agatha Christie's the fucking goat of all that, always.
Yeah, exactly. Tina Fey is in this. I completely forgot Tina Fey was in this cast. And one of the main roles. She's awesome.
I would never have known. I straight up saw the title, was as off-put as could be.
You mean you saw the title on Hulu?
Of the name of the thing. Like, I don't like titles like that. I don't like it.
Well,
I can't remember.
Take it up with the name of Agatha Christie's book.
Yeah,
that she wrote.
I mean, for someone, who
oh,
is
really, I assume.
Yeah, the Agatha Christie book is like A Night of Halloween or something like that.
That's
I can't
worse.
Remember. I'll
no,
pull
that's
up
not.
Here.
I was gonna say shockingly bad, but I would. There's no way
Agatha Christie novel is Halloween Party with an apostrophe between the two E's in Halloween.
I can see why they didn't use that.
Wait, what? I don't know, man. I'm looking it up.
Halloween
and party. In the Hawaiian dialect, it would be Halloween party.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like that. I'm glad they went with Haunting in
Why?
Venice.
Oh, my. That's astonishing. I love it.
It would have tanked in the box office because no one would have known what they were saying.
I drastically prefer that to...
To be fair, though, I had no idea this was Agatha Christie either, and I wasn't going to see it because I assumed it wasn't an Agatha Christie story.
I just assumed
it was a shitty haunt. Yeah, yeah. A shitty haunting movie.
I'm glad I'm providing this service to you, then you should watch it. It's lovely. And it's only like an hour 40, so not bad.
Sick. That's only like three sittings.
Yeah, there you go. Fit it in that way.
Yeah.
Okay, lastly, real quick, Jake, how are you doing with Fall of the House of Usher?
Through three episodes, baby.
You've watched a whole episode since last time.
It was a good one, though. I liked it.
Which is what I saw a month ago.
I liked it. It was, I watched it with my parents, even. We had a full room for...
You watched the third episode of the show with your parents?
Yes, I did, because we were over there and...
Is that the room morgue?
It is room morgue, yeah. And we were talking to them about the show, and it just so happened that we were all in the same place independently. Like, they'd been watching it, we'd been watching it, we'd all watched the episode two. So we were like, let's watch episode three
together. Makes a lot more sense.
And we did. Yeah, it wasn't just like randomly we pulled them into episode three.
You know what I think you'd like? The third episode of the television show
that we've been trying to get through.
Well, they had taken a long break because episode two like fucked my mom up a little bit.
I mean,
which one was two?
Two was the Mask of the Red Death.
Yeah, that one will fuck you up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they took a break and we just hadn't had a chance. So it was good. We've gotten through three whole episodes. Help me.
So, I mean, we obviously don't want to get into spoils for that, so I'm going to talk about a completely different series that I watched about a group of children who are being punished for the sins of their fathers.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Completely different. And each episode is based around a relatively famous, like, well-known horror story.
Sure.
Okay?
Sounds like a novel concept.
Totally novel concept.
Yeah, what's it called?
Goosebumps.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
I'm watching Goosebumps on Disney Plus. It's like the...
How
the,
is it...
The narrative setup is shockingly similar to Fall of the House.
Hold up. Like, OG Goosebumps?
Yeah.
Dude.
R.L. Stine.
I actually, like 2 years ago, I can't remember if I talked about this, but I went back and watched some of the ones that had stuck in my head as being like the best ones.
From like the TV... No. Sorry.
It's not
the TV show. Watching the original TV series.
Oh, I went back and watched like The Mask.
New adaptations of the original stories.
Correct, yes.
Yeah, that's not as good. In my heart. In my head, it's probably way better.
The original Goosebumps like episodic Fox box show is available on something.
Yeah, something.
I'm not sure what. And we've done a similar thing, like on back
probably YouTube.
That intro.
Well, yes, but no, they're actually like available in full on. It might be like Paramount Plus or something. I don't know.
The intro fucking slaps, dude. It's unbelievable how good it is.
What is it? Something by Rita Beware. You're in for a scare.
Yeah, it has like the kind of like keys heavy, like
yeah.
Bow, 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 bow.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Really good.
Hell yeah.
Really good.
Yeah, there's some classic ones from that. I just remember the one where the kid's at the camp and then he looks up and he sees Earth in the sky and it's like, what? Anyways, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the new version of basically the modernized version of Goosebumps that no one wanted. Starring Justin Long. There's a few other folks in here. Rob Hubel, Rachel Harris, sort of are in supporting roles around this like high school aged cast.
Yeah.
I really expected this to be something that no one asked for and no one needed and could just kind of
fade
into the background. And I mean, yeah, I guess you're right. It is something that no one asked for and no one needed, but I am enjoying it. I really am enjoying watching through it. It's 12 total episodes. We're on episode 10 and it's petered off a little bit.
Is
as
each
we've
one
gotten
one
through.
Book?
What?
Is each one one book?
Essentially, yes. And then as we've gotten into the like climax, it's starting to change up a little bit. But the first like five or six episodes are recognizable, like Night of the Worms and the camera that takes your picture and you die or whatever. Say Cheese and Die, I think is the name of the book.
Say Cheese and Die, yeah. I really miss the anthology shows where it's like... a 30-minute, 40-minute, whatever it needs to be, with just like, here's two stories in this thing. They're so bite-sized and digestible.
Nickelodeon model?
We don't do that anymore, and yeah. I miss it. I want someone to have, I don't know if I want to call it the wherewithal, but I feel like there's a market for that. I feel like I'm that market. There has to be others.
Give me
the short ones.
We got to bring back Quibbies.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mark's favorite platform, Quibi. Yeah.
Why not? I'm for it. I'm for anything at this point.
Yeah, Jake likes
just
suggesting any
stop
media
giving
that takes
me
3 minutes.
Who is
to watch
the target audience for this new Goosebumps? Is it for kids?
My wife and I were having this exact conversation the other night. I have no fucking clue. It has to be us.
How old do you? Yeah, how old do you need to be to enjoy it, or to be for it to be age appropriate?
I mean, it's definitely like YA. So like you wouldn't have the rose colored glasses coming into it if you were like 12 or 13, but I think you'd enjoy it.
You could watch it.
Yeah.
So it could be for like, it's for the people who read it when they were kids, man. And then now they have kids.
It's for, yeah, exactly. It's for the kids of parents who read these books when they were.
Yes. Young. And the parents are like, oh, this shit was bomb. So then they make
Here's
the kids
another
watch
way
it.
They're trying to lure in millennials such as ourselves. The main character is played by an actor named Zach Morris, who I have to assume is Mark Paul Gosselaar's son.
You just had a whole lot of names that I don't know what they are.
Zach Morris was the main character from Saved by the Bell, who could stop time,
played
by Mark Paul Gosselaar. And
I was,
this television
I could,
show.
Good Lord. I was not. Couldn't. I was not a Saved by the Bell kid.
Oh, that was a big Saved by the Bell kid. This television show, the lead actor in it, who plays Isaiah, is an actor named Zach Morris. And then I did a little joke about how he's Mark Paul Gosselaar's son. But that's probably not true. Because they have different names.
You never know, Jack. You never know.
And I think Zach Morris, the actor, is British.
I would be surprised as well if they were even remotely related. Or even if that was intentional at all.
Well, it's got me interested.
Oh, my God.
Wait, no. How would it be intentional? His actual name is Zach Morris. Never mind. It's not intentional.
It's stunt casting, Mark. I think this is what stunt casting is.
Go find me an actor whose name is similar to a TGIF.
Not similar not to exactly the exactly the same as the main character from Saved by the Bell.
Find the best Zach Morris.
But they have to also look like they can be in high school. We need that for this role.
Yeah. That casting sheet would be hilarious, and I want it to exist.
I'd be such a good producer.
Anyway, it's Goosebumps.
Christ,
it's
we're
fucking
playing
Goosebumps.
It loose tonight.
Yeah. Well, you brought cupcakes in the recording studio. Of course, it's loose.
Goosebumps is available on Disney Plus. I think it's also available on Hulu, actually. But
okay,
there you go.
I think
if you're
the same
for a series,
thing
I'd
now.
Give it a recommend.
Question:
Yes,
is there anything else you need to talk about?
Nah, I have a bunch more to talk
is there
about,
else
but I'm going
to really
save it.
Want to talk about?
No, I'm going to save it.
Okay, for what?
The next recording.
Yeah.
I had like 9 things I could talk about. I think I had 7. I had 7 things I could talk about. Not counting Usher.
I'll just be watching The Pope's Exorcist till we record again, so.
I hope
God,
they,
it,
I want them
Buster,
to make a sequel to that
Scruggs
so bad.
Now for you?
What?
Is Pope's Exorcist going to Buster Scruggs you?
Definitely not. But
it better.
I am going to watch it again at some point in my life. I know that for sure.
They need to make sequels until the Coen brothers are willing to do a version of it. That's what I want.
I would watch a Coen Brothers version of this fucking
Coen
movie.
Coen Brothers Pope's Exorcist.
When's the last time you watched Buster Scruggs?
11 minutes ago.
3 weeks ago?
God.
It was pre-Thanksgiving.
I was hoping for more, man.
Let's go to the feature presentation.
I was hoping for more time. More separation, you know? It's been fucking years, man.
Over at IndieHorror.com this week, we watched 2015's The Interior. Now, Jake, you picked this movie.
I did. I picked
it. I'm confused about why. I feel like we've talked about this movie so much. How
we
haven't done an episode on it.
Yeah.
This is my third or fourth viewing for some reason.
Whoa. Really?
Yeah.
This is
more than my second viewing for sure.
Huh. I mean, you Buster Scrugged it.
I mean, for sure not, but.
It's my second viewing. How many have you had, Mark?
This is my second viewing.
You've had.
I watched it once when you initially recommended it,
yeah.
Jake, because
it
came
you
in
it
with
now.
Glowing recommendations.
Sure.
And then I watched it again a month ago when
perfect.
We were originally going to record.
Perfect. And Jack, you're confused to why I picked this because we talked about it a lot, right?
I'm not confused as to why you picked it. I'm kind of confused as to how we ended up here with having talked about it. I feel like this is one of the movies we've talked about the most for not having done an episode on.
So. That's exactly why I picked it, because we've talked about it not in like a deep volume, like a deep way. We've talked about a specific thing that we've tiptoed around at high frequency.
Yeah,
so
fair.
I wanted to actually talk about the movie because there's either going to be a decent amount here to talk about or literally nothing because I don't know what to do with it. And that's like more of a, like, not
yeah,
me
let's
specifically,
get this out of the way right now. We did the spoiler thing earlier. We talked about how there are spoilers for this movie. But I just want to emphasize here that this movie, I think we could all agree, is worth watching if you haven't seen it before. And there are certain things you're going to hear about on this podcast that will remove the vast majority of the punch of the viewing experience if you know about them coming. And so if you're interested, go watch this movie. It's not that long, and you can, like, buy it for $3.99. So,
yeah,
do that. But now we can just be feel free to talk about whatever the fuck we want.
And we're back to spoiler cast.
And then officially. I forgot that I'm supposed to do the next part, which is I say that, Jake, you picked this movie, and you know what that means. As soon as this ad finishes running, you're going to have to hit us with a 30-second plot.
There are free apps that you can get that don't have ads. Probably one is already on your phone.
See, I thought that was a joke about our sponsors.
No, it says, would you like more free apps? Yes or not now, and I'm waiting for the little X to show up.
I have it already. I have it pulled up because
I have a
native app on my phone.
30 seconds are on the goddamn
clock,
Jake. It's going to stop when you start. Start when you start. Help.
Go.
This is a movie about a listless 20-something in Toronto. He has a dead-end, like, advertising job. He gets a dire diagnosis for something brain-related, bails on his life because he's kind of freaking out and doesn't know what to do, goes to the interior of British Columbia, that's where the name of the movie comes from, to camp and just kind of figure some shit out. Things start happening. I think this is the horror ensues thing that goes on. He's out there by himself. There's this dude in a red jacket that seems to be, like, closing in, chasing him, and eventually shit gets really weird and he dies.
Time.
Yeah. Does he definitely die? I mean, yeah.
Yes, he does. He does definitely die. Yeah.
At the very end, while they're doing, like, the shots of nature, you can see him dead in the background.
Yeah, he's, like, out of focus.
He's, like, face down in a snowbank.
Gotcha. Well, Jake, well done. I mean, this movie doesn't have, like, a lot in terms of plot, except for that the first 25 minutes are establishing his depressing life.
Jack,
You missed his Christmas wrap.
26 minutes into the movie.
You get the title card.
33.7% of the way through the movie, you get the title card.
This is a movie with three halves.
No?
Yeah.
I mean, one half that's the first 33%, and one half that's the second
66%. This is actually to go back to another reason why I might have picked this movie. I have, like, a little bit of a thing with movies that have, like, two very distinct parts, halves, whatever.
Does.
And this is one of those. So I guess
one
I have
part
to be
is
one to
before
it.
The title shows.
Don't give
up.
A shit. Don't give a shit.
It's just like, hey, here's 25 minutes of a depressing life, and then title card.
Kind of pseudo observational comedy about how depressing it is to work at a cubicle farm.
I thought it was pretty funny.
Well, it's not everything about his life is depressing. Like the way he eats, the way his like hobbies, his shitty Christmas wrap he does.
He's listless.
Yeah.
He is a listless. I don't know if he's.
I don't think you're listless if you're booking recording time in a studio to go record. I think he's just depressed.
I think
bad.
I think he's pretty listless.
Got to have hobbies. Some people just like to sit in front of a microphone.
You're walking me
sometimes.
Back. Listless might not be the right word, but
I think listless is exactly the right word. You could be listless and also have like a hobby that you're sort of pseudo. I think the main thing about it is like.
He has a hobby that he's into that he's bad at. I would call him listless.
I don't know
if he would call him listless.
Well, that's just denial, though.
Well,
I'm just saying I feel like that's a lot of commitment to a hobby to be listless. That's a level of commitment to a hobby that I think is list full.
His list is full.
Okay. This is a
Do you know how long the waiting list is for a Toronto recording studio, Mark?
I don't. How many loons? How many loonies? What's it called?
Loonies and
a loony and a toonie are a $2 coin and a $1 coin. But I said how long the wait list is, and you said loons, which I think would be a measurement of time based on the migratory pattern of a loon.
Yeah.
So that's confusing.
That's what I was going for. It's at least three quarters of a loon.
And three quarters of a loon is 2/3 of a fortnight.
And then, which is 6 hay pennies, and then you got to get in and pay loonies. That's what I was actually trying to go for, was the currency thing, but I screwed it up. I'm so sorry.
Gotcha. Yeah, well. What in the fuck subgenres of horror does this movie fit into is what I tried to do, except for people getting fucked within the woods. because that one.
Yeah. I'd go comedy. I'd put comedy in here. This is a funny movie.
It absolutely is.
25 minutes of this movie are funny.
And then there's like periodically, like some of his movements in the, like, he's kind of doing like a weird slapsticky thing.
It's because they've established him.
That he's a goof. He's a goofball.
Yeah.
And like the letter.
No, I am more than happy to go there with this because this is the first part is like a hard, like weird comedy. It's like a weird brand of comedy, but I found it really funny.
It is funny. There are times for sure. It's very funny. The whole like ad copy thing.
Oh,
that he
dude!
Has.
Yeah.
You took photos.
Oh
of it.
Yeah,
that's great.
They're so good. They are so good.
A hologram we'll talk about that. Charlton Heston and Stalin playing shuffleboard target the emotional and self-destructive eater.
Yep.
So funny.
I'd written down. And there's like three pages of it.
A TV campaign featuring disaffected millennials. Like that's him.
Yeah.
That he actually did write. Correct. I got confused because there's like a lot, so much of it is fantasy in the early part that I got confused as to which parts he actually did, which parts he didn't do.
He did do this, like, so he got
called
in. And
that's what gets him fired, right? He brings that into his boss.
Yeah, he got called in on the weekend.
Like, blatantly bad ideas.
Yeah, and he was like, fuck this shit. He had already had his diagnosis. No, he did not have his diagnosis yet. But he was like, fuck this. I'm in here on the weekend. So he shout out the, you know, TV campaign featuring disaffected millennials looks the same coming in or coming out as does going in. Target the self-destructive emotional eater. And then the spokespeople are the ones you mentioned. I like the possible taglines. All natural ingredients, lol, is one. The other ones were even more funny, though. Fuck. It took two pictures, too, because the way it was cutting from one thing to another. The perfect snack unless you prefer real food. And then basically, ellipsis, it's poison, hashtag YOLO.
I think I think you could probably make the argument that at any point in this movie, you're either you could be either witnessing reality or a fantasy of his own.
Yeah.
So I truly have no idea what part of that happened.
All the best movies, you know, you have no idea what's happening. What's real. It's all a dream.
Yeah. You know, it's this and Fight Club.
Totally. The two of the Mount Rushmore of whoa, what's going on movies.
Oh, and Eyes Wide
Super
Shut.
Hard to interpret.
Vanilla Sky?
God damn it. Okay. We're past the subgenre's feature.
Yeah, it was Canadian. Did we mention that it was foreign?
Is that what we do next?
Foreign as
fuck. We talk about what it does right?
Yeah, we talk about what it does right.
It's funny.
It's funny as hell.
Yeah.
I find it quite funny.
And on that point, it's not just, Mark, you talked about like it's about how depressing it is to work in a cubicle farm, and that's true. But it captures something more than, like, it's not just doing a shitty office space. Like, it captures something different about the, like, millennial in the job market that office space doesn't, right? There's something differently hopeless about the experience of being a millennial that this speaks to more so than other movies have.
I mean, I think it's, this is such a stupid point to quibble about, but I think it's doing exactly. It's cynicism with less sarcasm than Office Space.
I think it's more of a. I think it's speaking more to the generation than it is.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I mean, it's
yeah. I don't mean it's not doing. It is doing exactly the same thing, but it is updated. It's not just a rote like. It's not just saying like it sucks to work in a cubicle farm. It is. It has.
And then you do something about it. Versus here, it's just you suffer.
No, he does something about it. He gets a job at a duct cleaning company.
Yeah,
where they go bowling. 10-pin bowling.
Oh God! I
that
like it a
that,
lot.
Dude. The entire first half hour of this movie is fucking bonkers.
Yep.
Like I almost.
Yep.
The scene with him in the doctor's office where she says you've had you have a joint in your hand. It's like, well, one, it smells like pot in here, and two, you have a
that's
joint.
When,
in your
that,
hand.
That's
have I been
the
holding
setter.
This joint the whole time?
That's the tone setter because it's the first scene, right?
Yeah,
and there's like a discussion, and then it's you're like, oh, what kind of movie is this?
And he's like, I've been seeing double, and I've been dizzy. I've had headaches.
So this came out around the same time as that movie Wanted, and the opening scenes of both those movies are very similar. Obviously, one is a lot more produced and high budget, but
Wanted?
They're kind of vaguely similar. The
no
James McAvoy,
way.
Angelina
yeah.
Jolie.
You gotta bend the bullet.
That did not come
bend
out at
the
same
the
time.
Bullet,
what?
Jake.
No fucking way
so.
That came out in 2015.
When do you think that movie
a long
came out?
Time before
bet.
That.
Bet.
Like 10 years, like 2008.
Bet. Jack, stop Googling.
Yeah, Jake, okay, what are the parameters of this bet? Because I will take this bet. When do you
think
that movie
came out? I think
you
have busted. Price is Right.
So if it came out
in any
year
after 2000, If Wanted came out after 2012, you win.
In my club, I will splash the pot whenever the fuck I please.
Ooh, ooh, that's it. Gambling.
I'll take that bet.
Factotor.
Jake wins the bet handedly.
It was like 2008, wasn't it?
If he came in 2008, yep.
Whoops.
Yeah, dude.
God, it's not even
fucking
close.
That kid would be in like third grade. What? I think about everything in kid terms.
Yeah, what
now.
A weird way to.
I think that kid was like our age.
Oh,
so.
God.
Jesus Christ. How do we. What were we even talking about? Scene where Chris Pratt gets slapped by a keyboard.
But anyway, it. Yeah, it's a similar vibe to the intro.
Well, except
part
he
of it,
becomes an international. James McAvoy becomes an international assassin who can bend bullets.
I liked that movie.
That movie is infuriating in the way of like. I liked it too, but it's infuriating in the way a lot of those movies are, where it's like he's the reluctant hero, but to a degree where I'm like, fuck you don't deserve this anymore. You don't want to do all this awesome rad shit.
He is kind of a douchebag for too much of the movie. And then at the end, it's like unearned. He's like, what the fuck have you done lately? And he like bends the bullet around the curvature
movie,
of
the
earth.
First...
Yeah, it had way too much unearned edge in that movie. I would like to go back and watch it, though. I bet it's pretty good.
I thought it was badass, but
you see Angelina Jolie's butt at one point. You see her butt. She gets out of the healing wax pool.
Do. Yeah, see, this is how you know we were close to high school, dude.
Yeah, but I haven't seen a butt since high school. Not on screen.
I definitely haven't seen Angelina Jolie's butt.
They were a lot more remarkable to me.
I exclusively rent from the services that like go back in and CGI clothing over naked butts. That's...
Is that a thing?
Have you never seen that stuff?
What?
All the like super crisp... There's like...
Jake, are you saying what to me or what to
Mark?
There
are services. There are services for like Christian households that are very...
So like Speaker of the House Mike Johnson might use with his son, his porn
exactly, who would go
buddy.
Into any movie, like Titanic is the famous example that they do every time they have a news story on this shit, where they would go into that scene where she's like, "Love me like one of your French girls," and they CGI over her naked body with...
So you have to watch Titanic and you don't get to see Kate Winslet's breasts? That's hell. I think that's hell.
And
it
she's
definitely
just wearing
is.
Like a dress in that scene. And anyway, that's I exclusively rent from those platforms.
Sure.
You know what? Fuck it. I think the Christians were responsible for the Crusades. I'll say it.
Yeah. You're saying fuck things them. They don't want you to say.
I'm just out
the world
here
needs
spitting
to hear
truth.
Just asking questions, you know.
What temperature does steel melt at, you know?
It's also a spooky movie.
Yeah, I like the two halves. And I
okay,
think...
so yeah, thing it does best, it has arguably won't maybe the best jump scare ever.
So, yes, and we should give that its moment to discuss. Yeah, I was...
Don't you dare.
No, it's good. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is I remember this movie being very much in the same vein as Lake Mungo, where...
That jump scare
where
and nothing
movie,
else.
The scene is the movie. That's it. Like, that's the reason you're watching it. This
and
time
it's
through.
More. It's more.
The second half, like, actually the second half of the movie by time,
sure.
is actually
the build
scary.
Of him getting fucked within the woods
it's
is
very,
incredible.
It is a, like, it does a good job. I mean, okay, so I think that the two halves of this kind of help it in this regard because it, once you finally get to where there is that pre-release, it's not like the release in terms of a scare, but it's the release from whatever the fuck the comedy was. It the tonal shift that it goes through to where you're just existing in nature and he starts getting fucked within the woods, I think becomes a lot more engrossing and suffocating than it would be if it had not done that.
Yeah.
And I got that more on this viewing than I remember from the first.
Agreed.
So I remember that experience on my second viewing as well, Mark, being exactly where you were, where I remember the one jump scare. But the progression of scares, like starting with his food cooler being knocked.
That
and
one's
then
actually my favorite.
In
on
darkness,
repeat viewing, I like that one
so
more
good.
Than any
I forgot it existed, yeah.
And then also getting poked
but
through
that
the
one
is really fucking creepy.
That one's really
all
creepy.
Blair
even
Witch.
Him
That's
walking
a
back to find his stove lit in the middle of the fucking
I love that.
Is
that one
creepy
is great
too.
Because...
Now that one's lessened for me because of the whole situation that leads up to it that I find absurd. But
that's
whatever.
fine. That's fine.
We'll
but
get into
like,
that later.
Yeah, a lot of the scares with like
it's great.
getting your stuff fucked with is good. And it does a good job of that.
Yes.
I think the other main thing here that it does really well, I mentioned this when I saw like the trailer for it, which is why I decided to take the leap the first time. The way that this is shot is amazing. I fucking love like how there's a lot of behind him and then you're looking through him through his light that is projecting forward into the night.
Yeah.
The way that the night shots in this work is gorgeous and like it's
strangely
really hard to like it's not claustrophobic, but it's close, and I can't think of the right word for it.
What I would say about it is it feels like a found footage movie that's shot in the third person.
That's a good way to put it, yeah.
You know, like, normally that's kind of the benefit you get from having, like, the light on the camera. It's like you can only see what the camera's pointing. With this, you're doing the same thing, but you're, like, a little bit further removed, and they got a flashlight that had a tight enough beam that you only see part of the screen illuminated at any given time. I think it's effectively achieving the same mental effect.
Yeah. It works very, very well, in my opinion.
Yes, it does. And to your point, other point, Jake, the rest of it is it's beautifully shot. The cinematography of just the interior, it was actually shot in British Columbia, and it's fucking beautiful and looks beautiful. And it is.
Yep, the night shots are a chef's kiss. And then, like, we talked about the other scares, like, but there is one jump scare, and you mentioned it already, though, Jack, like, that what this movie does prime. Like,
we got to talk about it.
The
we gotta
jump
talk
scare
about it.
That they build to pretty well, I would say, is one that just like it's so simple, but there's something that it does where like you're so not ready for I don't know why you're not ready for it. It doesn't make sense to me. It's so hard to describe.
And it's not accompanied by a big musical hit. Like it's not, it doesn't make you like, it's not like, you know, it's not the music. That's
so here's what happens.
It doesn't happen that quick.
Yeah, we have
here's
to,
what
we
happens.
Have to
he has
what happens.
Seen,
We've
he
been...
has seen this person that is fucking, he thinks the person that is fucking with him is this guy. He's like wearing a red jacket. He's seen him around in the woods. There have been more confrontational, like closer encounters, blah, 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 right? He's kind of getting over it at this point. His nerves are frayed. There is one of the classic scenes where he like is just like, fuck, it's dark, like I'm going to bed. And you have a an undetermined amount of time where it's just like you're outside in the dark. It is pitch black. You hear a zipper on the tent. And nothing, you don't know like where the camera is focused or anything because you're the viewer and it's pitch black. But when the camera or when the flashlight turns on,
he hears the zipper open and he turns his lantern
on. Yeah. When the light turns on, dude's head is in the tent right there in your shit. And
like laughing at him or something.
He's just kind of like, no, it's
that weird open
mouth, like catatonic.
Open mouth, like his mouth is shaped like a sideways D,
like an
a
emoji.
Cartoon almost, but he's a
emoji-ing?
Real guy. Like
he's
emoji.
Like just kind of like catatonic.
Just open.
Like,
oh, that's what it is. Yeah, he's doing like the weird death rattle thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then doesn't he cut? He cuts through the back of the tent and just sprints in the other direction.
I think so. Yeah. That's the first one that like really gets him. It would get anyone.
Yeah, I mean that's incredibly
fucked
up.
It was fucking awesome.
It's such a good jump scare.
And the other thing that's really effective about this movie, that's basically the only jump scare.
Yeah, basically.
Like one thing that helps with how suffocatingly lonely this whole movie is there's never, aside from these like weird, almost like interpretive dance sequences, basically, that I'm sure we'll come back to in a minute. They never have like anything jump out at you. They set we have those beautiful cinematography shots where he's like shining his light through the forest, and in any other horror movie, you'd get something. Even if it was like a false jump scare, like a fox or something coming around the corner, nothing happens. And there's so much time
and we have long shots
in this movie spent of like anticipation with no payoff.
And of even him looking into the woods, into the dark woods or into the woods during daylight, both. And it just shows you what he's looking at. And so you, as the viewer, are like glued to the screen too. Like, what am I looking for? Where is it? What am I going to see? And just nothing.
I'd actually love to watch this movie with someone who wasn't like chronically watching horror movies like us and see if they just kind of thought it was boring. If they thought those scenes were scary, or if they thought they were boring because they don't have that like innate weird, here's where I would put a jump scare thing.
Right, like you're not looking for the way it's structured. The only other jump scare that I can think of, because in retrospect, there are a couple that I would qualify. The cooler's close. It's not quite there.
Yeah. I mean,
those things are
creepy. I think those would scare a normal person because that's like actually action happening.
The other one that caught me off guard this time was also Red Jacket. And it was after the tent scare. I thought it was done. Like, I thought the jump scare is done. I've seen this movie. It happened. But there's another one where, I forget exactly the circumstances leading up to it now because it was a few weeks ago that I watched this movie. This is how things go, guys. But he, like, turns his flashlight, and the guy's, like, shamble running, like, straight at him, and there's, like, blood coming out of his mouth, and he, like, runs straight by him.
That's later in the movie. Yeah, that's later in the movie.
And then he, like, chases him. Because at that point, he's like, I gotta fucking know what's going on with this shit.
Yeah.
But
if you catch him, you get answers.
That's the point when he's got his axe with him all the time, right? He's got his hatchet with him all
so
the time.
Yeah, so at first, the Red Jacket thing is an interesting one. Like, at first, you think... Well, I think they want you to think that it might be the guy that he broke into the cabin of who's pissed and is like looking for him to beat his ass.
I think that's the implication.
But you kind of quickly learn that it might not be that.
The way I interpreted it is the first time that they see each other and he like holds up the axe and the guy kind of just backs away. That was real. That actually happened. That was like either another camper or the guy who owned the cabin.
And the rest of it's all in his head.
And then from there on, he's fixating on that image, and that's the like weird psychosis that he's having.
Yeah.
But I think that initial interaction was an actual person. I mean, maybe. Obviously, all of that is up for interpretation, but that's just kind of...
Yeah, I mean, it's accompanied by...
And let's get into this. Let's get into this. I couldn't find this interview, but I read three different reviews of this movie from like horror review sites that talked about an interview with the director, who we should call out as Trevor Juris, who has apparently said in an interview he didn't know people have asked him what does this movie mean, and he said like I don't fucking know, I was just
dicking around, man,
doing shots,
dicking around.
I don't. He's like, there's no right answer, no wrong answer, and if you think there is, you're wrong because I don't even have an answer, and I wrote and directed it.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, I'm totally
maybe
fine
no message.
With that. I'm totally fine with that. Like, great. You made a movie. You inserted this nondescript, like, brain-related critic. Like, I don't know. He's going to die.
I mean, actually, technically, you don't even know
if
gets a diagnosis.
Real.
In the synopsis, it says that he receives a diagnosis. But in the movie, they play, fucking jazz piano over all of the scenes. So
the free jazz.
He just gets the call where he's like, well, you have to tell me in person. You can't just, even if I consent. And then there's
jazz
piano and you don't know what happened.
The implication is that it's not good. But you don't know. But it's like, as he's in the woods and like his hands are
tremoring,
noses are bleeding and all that. I don't know.
All of his noses.
All of them.
There's one more. He vomits at one point, although that might be from fright.
I took it that was
that's after
was
the
so
big
scared,
jump scare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, all of it could be psychosomatic.
But there's
too.
Also...
I mean, I think...
Nothing happens in this movie.
Nothing happens in this movie.
Yeah. Except he dies. He does die.
There's one clear other jump scare, which is very, very late in the movie. Red Jack comes back. He hears another thump on his tent, and he unzips it, and it's the guy's blue dead head falls through the opening. And that's accompanied by a musical sting of, like, a violins and shit. Like,
so there are a couple... There are a couple of these in this movie that I think are direct cap tips to other horror movies. That one being Jaws, the head below the water when Dreyfus's character first goes down, and then you mentioned the fingers on the tent. That's a straight,
and that would make sense with the
yeah, exactly,
because
that's the same thing. And then the other is the fingers on the tent. That's directly from Blair Witch.
Totally.
Yeah, I mean, those I loved just from, like, again, talking about the nerds that go and watch horror movies and like, what would you put here? Like, those are love letters, which I think are great. I think it's great. Like, it had enough of its own thing, but yeah, noticeable. What else does it do right, guys? Anything? Does it do anything right? Anything else right?
I mean, we've talked about a lot of stuff.
To put a pin in it, like, to put a bow on it. I always say put a pin in it, and that's not what that means. To put a bow on it.
To pull the pin out of this grenade.
That, too. When I... last time we went camping... Not we. Last time I went camping with other people... this was a long time ago. We were telling stories, and someone told this like classic ghost story of This girl goes out after high school. She does this like long loop around the Idaho Sawtooths or whatever. Takes the camera with her. Is alone the whole time. Camps, has a wonderful like eye-opening experience and is like super ready to go off for, away from her family into college and whatever. She goes and gets her film developed. It's a film camera. And she's looking through all of her photos and she sees all the cool shit that she took photos of. And then she gets to the end of the roll and it's photos of herself in the tent.
Yeah.
And she realizes that there was like someone out there with her.
Yeah.
And to
great
classic story. And to this day, like that story still sends like chills down my spine.
Yeah.
And nothing has really quite captured that same exact feeling as this movie of like thinking you're alone and then slowly coming to the realization that you're not alone, even though he probably isn't. It's just a psychosis.
So that's in one of the VHS's, right?
I don't think so. You're talking about the
one with the siren?
Siren? No, Siren was the one where like the three guys go out and get bring the
no, there's
back.
For sure one with a guy in a motel room with his
that's,
wife.
Oh,
that,
yeah,
that's VHS
next,
one. It's the second
next,
segment
the
or
segment,
third,
yeah.
I guess, depending on whether or not you
yeah,
count
okay.
it. But it's,
yeah, yeah,
I
yeah.
mean, he's at least with his wife in that case. But yeah, being filmed. I said I think I said the exact same thing when we reviewed VHS 1 was like, I don't, that specific fear of like being asleep and having someone
so scary.
Else there.
Yeah. I mean,
really
it,
gets
it,
under my
it
skin.
It hits the people getting fucked with in the woods thing about as well as you can in a lot of ways.
And that shit's extra scary, right? Because it speaks to at least, like, when I think about the stuff, it's like, what could I do? What would I do to make myself feel safe? And it's like, this is like, he does everything I might do, and then still, like, it doesn't fuck it. That shit gets you scared, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's great.
Have more of a weapon.
That's a fucking hatchet.
What's the movie do middle?
That's a very good weapon.
What's the
movie
do middle? What's the do middle?
Now, getting to middle, or maybe,
no,
maybe wrong, there's some stuff he does that I wouldn't do, and one of which is certainly
like a nitpick, but okay,
knowing that someone's out there and watching me in the middle of the night in the pitch black and in the pouring rain, pack up my tent and hike with my light on so I could be very easily followed and not see anyone who's following me, walk for however far and reset up my tent. Now everything is absolutely drenched and soaked and just
why
go
is
back
this middle
to sleep.
And not nitpick.
It's wrong.
That's just a nitpick.
It's wrong.
And also,
no,
in the first place, if you've been like repeatedly harassed, why are you sleeping with your light on? The one thing that would be like, here I am. Here's this beacon.
Come, I can't see you, but you can see me.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for me, the biggest middle thing that I have on this one, I felt in this viewing, because this is not a particularly long movie. It's like just sub 90. The viewing requirements for this film are, I'm going to say, particularly high for the immersion to properly land.
Yeah.
You really need to go into a room with no windows, where it is dark, with no one else, and watch this movie.
Oh.
This is a good dark with headphones on.
Or like,
yeah,
I thought you were going in a slightly different direction that I also agree with, but okay.
Yeah, I mean, I had to watch this movie in four separate viewings. That is not the way to watch this.
I mean, it's probably fine
for
the first 25 minutes. It's fine.
Yeah, fine. But once you get past the title card,
uh-huh.
It's not fine at all. And I think that three of my four were during that. It's just most of the movie.
It's like,
but like that is not how you want to do this. You need that kind of leave me alone. Let this wash over me like a warm bath of horror. And it just like. I didn't have that, so I will say that one of the middle things, that it's not a particularly forgiving one in terms of what you need to get out of it. You can't just go and like throw this on and take it, ingest it however you want. It doesn't work.
Yeah. It's also,
in my opinion,
this is where I thought you were going. It's also like a very specific movie. Jack, you said earlier that we would all recommend this.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I would agree. I would recommend this to anyone hearing this podcast. But listener,
it's not.
Don't go around recommending this to people who aren't hearing this podcast.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, my other bulletin middle, which I kind of like.
It's a psychotic movie to just recommend to someone out of the blue that you don't know that well and don't
agreed.
Know what they're looking
my
for.
My other bulletin middle that I think transitions to bad.
Oh, I also have a middle.
Then do your middle first.
Okay. The use of musical overlay is really cool at points, and
That's
and
mine too.
Plays well into the whole like brain fog element of whatever his issues are, be it just general listlessness or actual illness of some variety. It just wears thin. I think it plays really, really well in the cityscape.
Yep.
Where the whole point of it is to be cynical and numb to the machine of it all.
And kind of cacophonous.
It doesn't
and, yeah.
play as well once you get out into the wilderness, no. especially because, and this is probably what you're saying, if this is the bullet point you had written down too of what the movie does wrong, is it robs the movie of having any actual message when you're suddenly transitioning in the third act to being chased by like four stage crew members and there's like piano happening. It's just fucking confusing and weird.
That whole scene of him running through the darkness and then getting choked by people when there's a full orchestral score is really
that's what I was calling like the third half, and it was just like somewhat jokingly because like it's you get a lot of this good people getting fucked with in the woods, build up dread, all that stuff for a while, and then there's this scene sequence rather that happens. I think that some of that artistic nature of the film does detract from the dread a bit, and that doesn't really sit super well with me. The movie is doing what it wanted to do, obviously, so I kind of like put that in the middle, but that third half thing that I keep mentioning, I think that from an immersion standpoint, what it had built, it just drives a fucking like sledgehammer through it for me personally with that scene with people and the music and all that.
That for me is fully what the movie does
that,
wrong.
So completely, it was two bullets. I'm combining the first one with
mine
just
was also two bullets.
The artistic nature thing is like it's doing what it wants, but it can
it's
like
cool.
detract from the dread. And then the what the movie does wrong now that we're there is that particular sequence because it had built so much and then it goes.
And it takes the dread away. It takes it takes everything interesting away. Like I'm just like I don't need to see this guy run through the woods anymore.
Right. Yep. That was my main thing, actually, was just that, like, it had done so much to, like, build my trust in what it was doing, and that really pulled me out.
And then all of a sudden you realize it's a movie that was made because a bunch of people were fucking around and just kind of having fun, and you're like, yeah, this is exactly what happens.
Totally.
People fuck around.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not mad about it, but it was still, like...
Well, clearly, we all like this movie. Okay. Jake hated this movie.
And the director has also said, in addition to, like, I don't have a message, he's like, I agree, the ending is bullshit, is apparently what he has said in interviews. So I agree, the ending is bullshit. This movie has no ending. It's like, and then it just sort of ends.
Yeah, I mean, you can, the probably most favorable reading of it, which you're doing despite the director and writer telling you that it is incorrect, is it's capturing the psychosis as his like brain gives up, and then the final shot of him lying peacefully in a meadow face down on a snowbank or whatever is the actual true ending.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it is probably regardless anyway, but
That
at least provides some rationale for why he's being chased around by these like weird specters that are just dressed in all black.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean... I also, we're kind of beating around the bush. We're not beating around the bush. I'm really bad at colloquialisms today. I'm sorry.
Are we feeding a fed horse?
Yeah, we're feeding a fed horse. But to say it a slightly different
way. Killing two birds with one scone? Or feeding two birds with one scone? Sorry.
I've had this same qualm with a bunch of other movies that we reviewed. I can't remember the one that was particularly vitriolic, but like, if you're going to do something like this, I want there to be some version of a message. Either do a message or don't do a message. They're doing something that is intentionally metaphorical. Regardless, they're doing something metaphorical, and they know there's no metaphor behind it. And that just fucking irks me, man.
It is a lot. It's a lot to take.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm also kind of charmed by the director being like, no, there's no message. And if you thought there was, fuck
you.
There is.
But then why are you doing a metaphor? Like, you know when you're doing it. You're setting it up. You're like, no. Okay, suddenly there's four new people. We'll have a full...
I did 26 minutes of a metaphor before the title card.
I'm paying the Vancouver Philharmonic to score this shit. And I don't know. I'm just fucking around. Like, you know you're doing something specifically not literal. And you're doing it without any message in mind is just absolutely astounding. And it I hate it. I hate it so, so much. It
did you come into this recording with that take? Or not into the viewing.
I don't necessarily remember that as a criticism from the first few.
I didn't know that it specifically had no message.
Oh, I'm learning that from Jack right now.
Okay, so you did not come into the recording with that.
But my the thing I actually wrote down was like, if you have a message, you need to make your message known.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Don't make it this hard for me.
It's very clear that I'm not surprised at all that he said, "Oh yeah, we didn't know what we were doing."
Yeah.
We'll put up with your artistic bullshit if it's in search of a message. But even if,
sure.
But now it's harder to take your artistic bullshit when there's
expressly
no message.
Things that can piss you off, right? Or there's many things that can piss you off, but like this is one side of that.
There is no depth.
This is one side of that continuum, and then the other side logically would be like the I think I'm so smart and so out there, and this is such an earth-shatteringly deep thing.
Look at my movie.
Uh-huh. This is the kind of opposite of that.
You guys would not like the Darren Aronofsky movie that's playing at the Sphere.
Yeah, pretty much.
Probably not.
Experience.
Well,
as a narrative film, it's absolute garbage. It's a cool thing to see. It's fucking beautiful. But like, yeah, give me an IMAX camera and put it on a hot air balloon in space. It'll be fucking cool looking.
Yeah.
So you're in the Sphere. You're looking up, you're in the sphere, yes. And the inside of the sphere is also supposed to be a sphere, even though I think it's just a giant like screen, isn't it?
It's like a dome.
No, it's a sphere. It is spherical inside, and they are all screens, and you can see each rectangle that's a part of the screen until they turn on, and once they're all actually showing, you can't see it. You're inside of a fucking sphere.
Okay,
that's
so
a video.
If sphere. I'm inside of a sphere and I'm looking up at the Earth, that's not really what I want from being inside of a sphere, though, is I think the point.
You're not looking up at the Earth. The main part of it's still, like, dead center where, a movie screen would be. There's just everything else is all around you.
That's true always.
I think it does a good job.
Right, but everything else is screens that are where, like, the other parts of what's around the camera.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a good approximation of, like, how it would feel to be there.
Okay.
It's fucking cool.
Okay.
Do not go there. It is not worth it, and the customer experience is one of the worst of my whole life, and I do not recommend it, but having fought through it and like been told to fuck off 3 times just trying to get inside to my seat, when I did all that and paying $19 for a Bud Light, then once I was inside, it was fucking
cool.
So miserable experience.
I have two questions. How many people are inside the sphere during your viewing experience? Assuming it's full.
400.
So it's like the size of a lot. It's like a movie theater, or is it like a stadium?
Bigger than a movie theater, smaller than a stadium.
Like a soccer stadium?
What?
I don't fucking know.
Why would you say a soccer stadium if he says smaller than a stadium?
Well, I don't know. Like it's obviously not like a football stadium, but like
It's also way more vertical than a regular movie theater or stadium because you're like
this is fucking
a third
baby
of the sphere.
Okay.
Is it like amphitheater seating though? At least where it's like there's not like one. You're not sitting all the way around the sphere. Everyone's looking the same direction.
Like you're only on one third of the sphere.
Second question: how much does it cost you to get inside of the sphere?
It costs I think $140
oh
a ticket,
God.
Or maybe $75 a ticket. We spent. Like $200,
right.
And then
Jesus
a $40 Uber ride. Also, they were setting up the F1 there, so the Uber couldn't drive there, so the Uber ride took like 70
I can't
minutes
wait.
To get from like 3
I can't
miles.
Wait to watch the Drive to Survive that is going to, because this
oh
this
my
disaster.
God, it was such a night. We rode in a few Ubers there, and they were all like, fuck this. They could literally not have done a worse job. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it like destroyed Vegas. 18,600 people. Fit in the sphere.
Oh, that's sizable.
That's
like 400. That's so normal.
Something
it's a
close to 400.
It's like a.
I was also pretty
NHL or NBA arena.
You'll be surprised.
NHL
to
or NBA
hear.
Arena.
Okay.
Size. Yeah.
So bigger than a soccer stadium.
No. What? What?
I mean,
what?
I'm picturing
bigger than some
I'm
soccer.
Sorry,
stadiums.
I guess that's the piece of
yeah bigger
I'm
bigger than
this.
The Youth Optimist Field.
I'm thinking of like the Rio Tinto Stadium where Real Salt Lake.
Sure, I don't know that it's that much smaller.
Okay, I'm done. We're done talking about this. This
no
is too much of a divergence.
Really?
If you can just, like, warp to the seat when the movie starts, wonderful. In any other situation, don't fucking do it.
20,000 Rio Tinto. It's that size.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Mm. So it's smaller than Rio Tinto.
It is.
Okay.
The verticality is really disorienting. Like, you are, like, I'm barely behind the people in front of me, but I'm just higher up than them.
Can I get one? Oh, yes. I thought you were asking me if I wanted one. No, I do not.
But the movie was, I mean, it's fucking cool to see all the nature stuff.
What's the movie even about?
Climate change and humans are bad and killing the Earth.
You did?
Okay. Yes.
What a shitty movie that was.
Yep. This movie's a lot cooler because it's just cool nature shots, but it has no... The narrative is literally like... There was the Earth, and then there were humans, and then the Earth was mad at humans, and hopefully humans will die, because the Earth is better than humans.
Okay. That doesn't really sound like
a
narrative.
I agree. I agree with you, Mark.
Where were we?
I think I need to blow the whistle.
I've been talking about the sphere for like a half hour, I think. Do.
Can I blow the whistle?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yes,
Christ.
Please.
Jack, I think this is where you're like hiking rails, in the guys. Rain with your tent.
I had to escalate it though. It's such a buck wild. I mean, maybe he's not a camper, but
no,
like
he's not a
it's
camper.
It's a very specific element of this movie.
Pitch,
he's not a camper.
Yeah.
Pitch black, pouring rain. You're gonna break down your tent, hike with your lantern on through the pitch blackness, and set it back up in the rain for what reason? What is better? What has helped?
Yeah.
What have you done?
What I put here, or more of my focus, was just on like the unbelievability of the gear to the elements, I guess. Like, that dude's tent.
He just packs
morning. And even if he had done everything he possibly could with that tent, that thing is going to succumb to the constant mist that... It's between a mist to just rain this whole time, and that thing is going to get wet.
That tent would be 90% mildew.
It's going to get wet. It is going to.
He's getting trench foot.
He's going to get trench foot. He's going to be soaked, dude. Like, not to mention when it's windy. Like, it doesn't have a proper rain fly. That shit's just going to come right in the side.
He's probably just using his like weird wool poncho thing because that also never gets wet.
That also never gets wet, and that's what I was going to say.
That's
that matter.
Water repellent,
the amount of
apparently.
Wet you would get.
It's wool.
The amount of wet you would get is completely, almost immediately, like during the first day.
He would have full hypothermia in 30 hours.
No fire.
He never once had a fire because it's too wet.
He has his jet boil, and he makes delicious warming oatmeal.
That is not going to do it.
Maybe.
Also, the only food he brought is oatmeal.
He has mountain houses or whatever.
Yeah, he has mountain houses. And at the end, when he can't fucking, like, when he runs out of fuel, his fuel canister is spent. It takes like 20 minutes to hydrate to edibility a mountain house with hot water, like boiling water. The fact that he pours in cold water
and
immediately tries to eat it is just not going to work.
That's just cold water and a bunch of sharp shards.
It's not going to work, bud. If you tried to eat it the next morning, it'd probably be okay. It'd be cold, but it'd be saturated. But not a minute later. My shit's just like a bunch of like backpacking nitpicks.
Mine too, but again, when he moves his camp in the middle of the fucking night, we've already shown he doesn't know how to navigate, he doesn't know how to do things. He's able to navigate perfectly back towards where his original camp was in the pitch black that he left and find the burning stove, and then also able to navigate perfectly back to his tent.
I took that to mean a different thing, which is that he got turned around and someone was fucking with him by putting his stove turned on in the...
So he didn't make it that far away from his tent when he went back to get his stove?
Yeah, exactly. Did he go back to get his stove? Okay. I thought he went out to investigate like sounds.
No, he sets up his new tent, and then he's looking through his shit, and he goes, fuck, and he can't find something. And he looks at his compass, and he storms back out into the wilderness, and then he finds his stove.
Right.
So I assumed it was his
stove. Maybe it's both things. He was going back to look for his stove, and someone just lit his stove and left it for him on the trail.
Yeah. I mean, also, like, not a nitpick, but, I mean...
That's creepy.
I don't know how long he is supposed to be out there.
It's like 2 days, I think.
he runs through that entire fuel canister, which would take a long time.
Well, yeah, fucking leaves it on.
Yeah, that person, assuming he's getting fucked with, whether it's him, the person, like, whatever happened, like, is it just fucking with someone to creep with him, creep him out, or is it like, I'm going to waste your shit, which I kind of like. Maybe it's a neat pick.
Or is it? Or that's is it that creepy. He's so fucking lit out of his mind that he
it
just
would be
leaves
so
his
creepy
stove on 100% of the time?
It'd be great if I bought a brand new isobutane container, like brand new for a trip, and then on like the second day, and I'd used it for two things, it was out. That would freak
for
my
sure.
shit out. Like, and everything start. That's the cool. That's a no, cool. To a really good.
I totally agree
with
that.
Thing.
And Mark, to your point about him being like, maybe he's just so out of his shit that like he didn't know, like think that he had had it on or whatever. It'd be fucking hilarious if there was like. During the sequence at the end when he's like dead in the snowbank, if there's been like one more shot where it's like the side of his body, like very close in, side of his body in his hand, and there's like the biggest possible joint in it. It's like the size of his mic. That would have been awesome.
Yes.
That would have saved
that would have been the bookend, man.
Oh, man.
Have I had this joint the whole time?
His boss isn't just a dickhead. His boss fully batters him. His boss is fully guilty of criminal
battery.
His boss
is pretty funny.
And actually attacks him.
You know, yes. And obviously this is hyperbolic and a bit exaggerated. But I do think like crazy shit like happens like that in the world. I mean, Jack, you would know better than anybody the crazy shit that happens in workplaces.
Crazy shit does happen in workplaces, yes.
I mean, I don't know. Reading enough of those, like, anti-work and legal advice threads, you get a sense for the small company hijinks that happen when you're not necessarily, like, you don't have an HR department type of thing. This obviously seems a little bit bigger than that.
When you're not big enough to get random OSHA or state safety inspections?
Yeah, exactly. You have to be pretty big to get, like, random inspections, man. Isn't that like 50 employees?
Not in Hawaii,
or something?
Buddy, pretty good. Yeah, that's OSHA is 50 or
that's
50
fucking
employees,
enormous.
Yeah.
Like in reality,
that's very big. God. Yeah.
Is five pin bowling really big enough in Canada, in Ontario or wherever he is, to warrant a question of whether or not he prefers five pin or 10 pin bowling?
I don't think so.
I have no idea. I've never played a game of five pin bowling in my whole absolute life. I wouldn't know how to go about it.
I haven't either, and I didn't know what it was, and then I looked it up, and it looks really fucking fun. So now I want to...
I mean, I assume it's five pins in it, 1, 2, 3 orientation.
And you use a small, like, bocce ball type thing, and...
I have seen that on ESPN 6 or whatever, the little ball they like hold in there, they can like palm the whole thing mostly and like, throw it
real
fast. Yeah.
So there's a couple different variations of that. Like, the one that I've normally seen is...
Normally,
more of like a bocce ball type thing where it's they call it bowling, but then you're like throwing it as close as possible to the payload or whatever. And you're
that just sounds like bocce though.
Yeah, I think they also call that bowling though. This is like traditional bowling, and there's like five pins. I don't know.
It looks fun.
It doesn't exist anywhere. There's like one bar, maybe in a big ass city that
like
has it.
Toronto,
and, yeah, maybe. And they're asking him like. Hey, man, 10 pits, like regular bowling, or it's this very specific, esoteric, like weird bar thing.
And he's I want feather bowling. I want a feather bowling place.
So I think that's basically the same thing, but you use a wheel of cheese.
Yeah.
Instead of, okay.
And the lanes are kind of like.
Yeah, they're.
Convex?
They're a.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Concave.
Well, concave from one
the shape
side.
You just made
concave,
was concave
from one side, convex from the other.
Yes, the side that we are. We are.
I'm looking
upright.
At it.
That side. From that side.
Stage concave.
No, stage convex. Us concave, stage convex.
Sure, yeah.
God.
Batman
upside
convex.
Down. It's clockwise, but you're looking up at it.
Fucking hell, the clockwise.
Mm-hmm. It's omnibus season.
Precisely.
What
are the nitpicks?
This is a very... This is not the fault of the movie. This is... I think I watched this on Amazon. I'm pretty sure I read it on Amazon. And like I've said a million times, we always watch with subtitles on. And
Me too.
One of the... In the very first scene, he says, "Yeah, you bet." And it's subtitled with Eddie O'Bop.
What?
I had the I noticed the exact same thing.
E-D-D-I-E-O hyphen B-A-P. Eddie Obop.
Great name. I kind of like it.
And it's such a wild thing. It's
like text. Yeah. Someone captions are, someone turned on text-to-speech for captions and left the room.
It just can't handle that Canadian accent.
But what's so funny is, like, that's the only time it came up. The rest of the captions were fine.
Yeah.
So someone, like, proofread this and just skipped the first half of the
movie.
I think
it's awesome.
I liked it. It's the first time I've seen anything like that.
Or they were just testing you. And you either failed or succeeded, depending on what they wanted.
This is a dumb question.
I doubt that.
But can you really... Wait, really? You doubt that?
Yeah.
That's nice of you.
Yeah, I know.
That's the nicest thing you've said to me in a long time. Can you break a compass? Like, really, can you break a compass?
Yeah.
100%.
Couldn't you... Can't you just, like... Like, it's just a magnet. And an arrow. Can't you just, like, take the pin and...
Mark, if I gave you a magnet and an arrow right now, do you think you have a compass?
Mark could absolutely make a compass out of a magnet. And,
yeah, I'm
like,
pretty
a
sure I could.
It's not hard.
Like, just right now.
I guess, yeah.
Like, paperclip. It'd be a good example. Like, just a magnet and a paperclip.
If you magnetize the paperclip and you have it on a spindle where it can orient itself to the magnetic field... Mm-hmm.
You have a spindle because you have, according to Mark's thing, like
you
the,
have
the broken
pieces.
Yeah,
of the compass.
I guess if you have enough pieces, you could figure it out.
The other problem is, Mark, your magnetic little pointer arrow, when you break the face of a compass, often falls off, and you can't find it in the woods, no matter how hard
you've
you
done this before.
I have fallen over and broken the compass. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely break it.
Oh, I know you can, like, literally physically break it, but to, like, would it ruin
but
your?
Also,
would
he,
it completely,
part of it is
yeah,
he's an
he
idiot.
Is an idiot. That's really the answer to this question. But, like,
he still had the magnetic pointer. He could have reassembled a.
Yeah,
because
I don't even think like it breaks. I think like the top, like the thing cracks, and he just assumes like, oh, it's pointing east now. Ugh.
Oh, because like because it's cracked. Yeah,
like it's a weird confluence.
And it's stuck.
It's
on
a weird
piece
of confluence
glass.
Of he apparently is good enough to use the compass to navigate and like in a map. Orient himself with where he's going, but he's still too dumb to figure out that like the cracked face on his compass doesn't screw up his orienteering.
If it's not physically inhibited from moving by the glass, right?
And also, all of these movies that are like the compass broke, we're fucked type of thing. It always happens during daytime. Like you can fucking
yeah.
See
I was just gonna say
the
like they're not that important. Compasses are really not that important.
Losing a map way worse than losing the compass.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, okay.
That's why you kick that fucker into the
creek.
Compass is not that important. Overrated. I think.
I mean, compasses are very good, and they cost 11 cents.
Well, yeah, that's fair.
What do you mean overrated? They cost
they're
11
great,
cents.
The Utah, but
as
two
a,
different things. One's
a,
how much it costs. One's how much it's rated.
As a device, yeah. The sun's a compass.
I think a cost is a good estimation of rated.
That's not true.
I think that the example that is used in this movie of its level of importance is the rating. Because it frequently
well,
happens.
Fair. He's also got like an old-timey compass that's like a 40s watch.
Those
that,
are
like,
sick. I have one of those.
Watch.
They're sick.
Me
the,
too.
I feel like the entire benefit of a compass, like an actual compass, is so you can like give it to like your kid who's pretending to be a Boy Scout, so they can walk around being like, oh, we're heading north northwest. Look at that.
They compasses can be really helpful. Makes things easier.
It's a thing you should have in your backpack. That's like a it's day glow plastic with a compass and a mirror and a whistle. It's just got like
it's
tiny.
It's
I like
you're
like
to have.
No man,
throw
compasses can be
backpack.
Really helpful when they have a bunch of other tools affixed to them.
The compass also can be helpful. if you're in a survival situation, making anything that you can possibly make easier on yourself is a good thing.
Mark, have you ever tried to navigate using just the sun? Like it can be done and you'll be a little bit right. But also, like, you'll only be a little bit right. It's a lot better to know.
I've lived my whole
from...
life being only a little bit right. that's my comfort zone.
And that's why he sticks to five-pin bowling.
Well, now, wait a minute. How does that have anything to
the
do with
the bumper
anything?
Pool of bowling.
Bumper pool. I'll fuck with some bumper pool.
Bumper pool is the
bowling?
Best bar game
no,
that
it's actually not.
We're talking about bumper pool.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, isn't bumper bowling the bumper pool of bumper bowling? Of bowling. But no, it's not at all.
No, bumper pool is hard.
Yeah, bumper pool is
bumper pool is really hard. Is there any other nitpick
no.
that we have?
No, I think we should.
His hand tremors are like me on a good day, was my last note. Interior crocodile alligator.
I drive a Chevrolet movie theater. We over at Itzy Horror use a 1 through 10 rating system to rate the movies we watch. For one, think of a Nigel St. Nigel would rate Gus's car.
This car makes me want to weep and then die.
And for 10, think of a Sherry Ann Cabot would rate for how long she could talk or not talk.
We could not talk or talk forever. And still find things to not talk about.
Story is the first category to rate these movies. Jake, this was your pick right for story.
Oh, man. Things are hard. We haven't had a hard movie to review in a while, have we?
Not because we developed that skill.
Probably.
Yeah. I don't think this is a regression. I think this is like a hard movie to review a little bit.
Yeah, it's all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, for this is story, like we've kind of already mentioned that story's not really there. Like, I feel a little bad going as low as I'm going, but this is a more conceptual category. I'm giving it a 4.5. Like, it's doing enough to set the stage, but there is very little ultimately that this is trying to leave you with. And the fact that the director said, fuck it, makes me not feel super bad. I just remembered that Jack said that.
Yeah.
There isn't very much story here.
Yeah. Mark, do you want to go second or third?
I'll go second. I feel like this is a straight up the middle Judicious Leck Thereof movie. They're specifically not telling you the story. Anytime story could be happening, they block out all the dialogue and play classical piano music.
Sure.
And all of that is in service of putting us, putting us on these rails of a pretty spooky little ghost story thing, which we'll get to in the later rating. So I think it's to the benefit overall of the movie, but it's hard to give it much credit above average. So I gave it a 5.5.
Sure.
All right. Well, I gave it a 4. I think it is a Judicious Leck Thereof movie in terms of story, but I also think it doesn't do that much with even the judiciously little amount it has of story. It's not a story movie. It's not a writing movie. There's no really interesting dialogue. There's no real interesting concepts. All that stuff's going to come up later. It's getting a 4 from me. Jake, what is your effects or judicious lack thereof?
No, I'm going to give it immersion and world building.
I will do effects
by saying judicious.
Many, many, many ratings later. Okay, so world building. Don't really know what to say there, but in terms of the immersion, outside of a couple key sequences that I mentioned, this is a movie that is fairly, I don't want to, like, dependence, not the right word, but, like, your experience with it is going to be because of how immersed you are in the sequence, particularly where he is in the woods, that carries it. I'm giving it a 7.5, and it's mostly because of the detraction that I would apply for the world being just like weird and borderline intentionally not like consistent or even cohesive. I don't even know what to say about it. It's like not a world. He's not on planet Earth. It opens with him with the joint in his hand.
Well, he is.
It's like the end of that Goosebumps episode where the kid looks up and planet Earth in the sky.
Like there's very little world that even exists here. Man.
Yeah,
Mark,
I mean,
you?
It's kind of judicious lack thereof of world building as well. And what you're left with is just immersion. It is funny, like, the stuff that they leave in that is otherwise unnecessary. I mean, you could, like, very easily make the argument that the first 26 minutes of this movie don't need to be there. It's a completely different thing. It's like watching the short film at the beginning of a Pixar movie. They're just unrelated.
Or like watching The Empty Man.
Exactly. Or like that. I mean, at least that sets up some characters and stuff. But
that one does tie back in, yeah.
Jesus Christ, that really threw me off. Now I don't know what I was going to say.
There's no world.
Well, I do think you can... I think what you were talking about earlier, Jake, the cinematography of like being about 15 feet behind him as he's walking through the dark woods with the tight beam of the flashlight sweeping through, that goes under world building. And that's like a really effective and cool shot.
Okay,
the world
fine.
Building is empty and lonesome. But there's just like not a lot there.
Fine.
And what that does is
just,
it...
I'm immersed in this dude's circumstances.
Right, and what that does is it feeds into the immersion. Yeah. Whatever. They're not doing a whole lot here. You are pretty immersed, but... I don't know. I struck a balance and gave it a 5.5.
Watch it in one sitting.
I did.
So Yeah.
No, I'm just saying in general, don't do what I had to do this time.
Oh, yeah.
Mark, I understand what you're saying, but I also kind of want to take it further. Not only do I think that the world building they do of the interior, not that they had to do that much, like it is enough to shoot interestingly and well in the interior. That the isolation is a big part of that world building, and everything from even the cabins he comes across to like when he interacts with Redcoat the first time and it's not that scary, that is a piece of the world building they're doing. So I think the world they're building is lonely. I think another part of it is what I was talking about earlier. When he's in Toronto, it's office space, but it's updated office space because of the world they're building, right? They're building this for a new generation, and they do a good job of building his depressing ass world. It's weird. It's not like a... It's not super super concrete or like ephemeral. It's all kind of just conceptual, but it's very cool. I think they do a good job building the world, and I was very immersed in it. Despite this being my third viewing, where this is losing points for me, because I wanted to go a lot higher, is that whole third part when he's running from the people and he's actually like being attacked and all that stuff's going on with the, that took me out from both a world building perspective because they weren't adding to anything and an immersion perspective. So it's a 7 for me, despite a lot of really strong stuff, right. I think.
Yeah.
Although Jack and I have exactly the same total so far. So never mind.
Scare factor, Jake.
Yeah. Before the title card, this is a comedy. After the title card, this is very effective with what we've already mentioned. We all think is among the best jump scares maybe ever.
I didn't say that.
What Jack and I have said.
I don't think you need to qualify with jump scares. I think it's just some of the best scares. I think one of the reasons this movie shines is because there are.
I'm speaking
really
of one specifically, and it is a jump scare.
Would you call it in your top five jump scares?
I would have to take a moment to like really put some definitions around it.
We've done that.
I am reluctant to call that a jump scare.
That's weird to me.
I mean, they slowly pan
made
up.
Made me fucking jump the first time I saw it.
The first time the flashlight turns on, it's at the base of the tent, and then he goes up.
It still hits.
It's not like
you're not like. Oh, it hits!
It makes you jump. It hits.
Is
like
there
a jump
even
scare.
A? Is there even a sound sting for that one?
It's not a heavy hear sting.
That's what I'm. I think it's just a fucking tape shot.
After you see him for almost a full 3/4 of a second, the guy starts moaning.
I specifically don't think you need an orchestral sting for there to be a jump scare.
I think
if that's part of the qualification requirements, then I have a problem with the requirements.
It's not necessary.
This is a jump scare in
effect.
Nor
is it sufficient, but it does help.
It's part of the equation. They do use one for another scare.
You know how,
it's not as good.
Jake, you know how in the Navier-Stokes equation, there's like three different parts of it that you're all kind of adding together?
No,
for
I don't even know what equation
flow.
You're talking about.
Jake doesn't know what you're talking about.
You don't know what I'm talking about either, Jack. That was the point of the joke.
Okay. I don't fucking know.
It's fluid dynamics. It's like different. Laminar flow
yes,
and turbulent flow.
Totally, dude.
There's three different. There's a bunch of different variables, and then at the end you get like I can't even fucking remember what the point of the Navier-Stokes equation
is.
It's been a long time, buddy. But my point is, there's a lot of variables here. So you know, if one of the variables is like, yeah, there's an orchestral string, that's gonna go into the final product, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it is. It's not necessary. No, it's not sufficient for jump scare.
Why did your other analogy help beyond necessary and sufficient, which I think was a good enough?
Well, because we have people that aren't just lawyers listening.
Because
he
wanted to appeal to the, like, I don't even, science nerds. I gave it a 6.5, guys. The movie does a really good job at being, I think, a very effectively scary film for the runtime that it spends doing that thing. And I really grappled with this one. I can't give it like a super high rating because of just the sheer amount of time that is being spent not doing that thing. If you were to ask me to grade that one scare, I would give it a 10. But
Mark, what's your score?
I went a little bit higher. Gave it a 7. I mean, I'm penalizing it here for the beginning of the movie. And I do think that like us three as a trio probably uniquely going to be oversampled for how high we're going to rate this just because of who basically you two are. I'm not as outdoorsy as you two, but like just by osmosis, I find this shit creepy. people who don't go camping and like live a city life, probably not going to be as affected by this, but whatever. I still think it's pretty fucking creepy.
I guess what I gave it an 8. This is one of the scarier movies. Not only, like, and like you guys said, for me, this was interesting as a third or fourth watch because I had the same experience as you guys. The first time I only remembered that one jump scare, but it's so much more than that. It builds so much more than that. The tap on the floating cooler and that swinging is so effective. The scares build so well. It doesn't get more points because it kind of ruins it in the end. It doesn't go anywhere scary, but it is so scary when it's happening and builds to what is arguably one of the best jump scares ever. Maybe the best. I don't know. It's not on the list.
It's not on the list. Yeah.
It's an 8 for me. It's very scary. Let's take us into effects or judicious lack.
Hey, we finally got
Jake.
Seriously, I gave this a 6.5. I think that this is mostly a judicious lack thereof movie. Visually, it's hard to call these like props and sets because it's like put shit in a beautiful environment and like let it do its thing. But I don't know, when movies do that, it's very impactful and it helps with the scores we already gave. So like that's going to count. And I did count it.
The jet boil stove definitely counts as a prop.
Yeah, it was definitely a prop and it's used as such. I mean, so was the cooler.
Yeah.
So was the lantern. Cool. So does the tent. We seriously have not talked about their use of, and I think there's like a lot of a reason for it, despite the fact the director's like taking the piss here. The utilization of red specifically, like the dude there, he's like the most luscious green environment possible, right? And you have the stark red opposite of like the guy in the jacket, his own beanie.
I like the use of luscious instead of lush.
It's also luscious.
We're deep in it.
No, it's sexy, Jack.
You think he's doing a Schindler's List thing? Is that what you're saying?
Dude's in the red jacket. he wears a red toque.
I was curious.
His nose starts bleeding. I think that there's like the red is like
Jack,
the whatever going
Jack
on.
Jack really
here.
Fucked us by bringing up the fact that the director had already answered all of our questions just by saying no, nothing
I think
is real.
The piss.
But I was gonna ask, like, is red jacket versus red hat? Is it like a body versus mind thing? Like he's in his own head, but his body's coming after him, and that's what like the actual conflict is here. But clearly, nope.
I think that's not the answer. I think guys taking the piss. Anyway, those are also potentially props, depending on how you want to look at this movie. It's a very up-for-interpretation movie. Everything's very luscious.
You know, it's interesting, Mark, when I think of a movie that's all black and white and then has color in it, I think of Pleasantville before I think of
Schindler's List.
Go
to Pleasantville, too. If you're specifically saying red against a black and white, then it's obviously Schindler's List.
It is.
But yeah, Pleasantville, when they like first kiss for the first time, and then like her mouth is, I think
Sin
her tongue
City.
Turns pink. Ooh, Sin City is a good one,
too.
The
tree turns green first, I think. Yeah, Sin City.
The Spirit, yeah.
All black and white except for his tie is red. That movie sucks, but I wish it was good.
Yeah, I mean, there's a stylistic thing there that you just want to be cool, and then it lands not cool
at all. I mean, you can't Sin City 2 and The Spirit are all just doing the same thing, which is just a graphic
but
novel.
But Sin City doesn't suck.
No, Sin City's great.
Yeah.
Sin City 2 sucks.
It's better than The Spirit.
Regardless. I gave it a...
Most things are.
Regardless, I gave it a 5.5.
Yeah, I gave it a 5.5, too.
Great.
I have nothing else to add. You rambled for a long time.
Well, I mean, you guys brought up Schindler's List.
I think you'll find you brought up Schindler's List.
I don't know how we got on Schindler's List. That's going to take us into overall, Jake. What's your overall score?
This is where the tilt comes in. I'm giving this a 7 overall. I think this is a really, like, unique and... deserving is a weird way I don't know the right way to describe it at this point this deep into the podcast, but like it's a unique horror film that I think is deserving of the time that we've just given it, and I appreciate the fact that it exists. I think it's quite good, and I love the fact that something that is this indie and this strange can produce such effective scares. Like there's something about that combination that like tickles me pink. Okay,
you don't say.
I like that. Mark, how about you?
I gave it a 6.5. I'm kind of in the same boat. I think this is a difficult, as far as like overall being a index of how easy it is to recommend a movie, that's where this starts to fall off a little bit, and I'm taking points away from it because it is such a weird structure. I think it will resonate with very specific people, us three specifically, but I think like you said earlier, Jack, this would be an absolutely psychotic movie to recommend to someone.
Yeah.
Good. I like it. Really good. But not for everyone.
What was the number you gave?
So still pretty favorable.
Yeah, I gave it a 7. I think this is a really good movie. It's a really interesting movie. I'm absolutely fascinated. This guy hasn't directed anything since. Like anything. He's edited some stuff, but just.
Well, his approach to filmmaking is, I don't know, we went into the woods and just had fun with it.
But clearly, he's like got an incredible eye for cinematography and editing, and like he can compose a shot in a scene and make a good movie. But it's a wild movie. It's a messy, but it's also pretty great. I like this movie a whole lot, and it's really, really interesting as a thing that exists. It's so fucking scary. 7 for me.
It is spooky in like a uniquely different vector from other movies. That's, yeah. I mean, we talk about other movies being scary, but like this one just scratches an itch that like I haven't, we don't get anywhere else.
It's unique.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of movies where I hate the protagonist as much as I hate this guy and still.
You don't hate, I don't hate him.
Resonate
I like him.
With him.
I don't like him either. He's,
Whiz, I don't he's like him. Listless.
He's not just listless. He's a fucking dick to his maybe girlfriend. He's a terrible rapper who's
Jack,
spending too
Jack's
much money
really
on
focused.
Wait, whoa, Jack, you can't dislike a guy because he's bad at his hobby.
I hate him because he hates it. He gets no, he is that committed to it and clearly does not give him anything. I love a guy who's super deep into their hobby.
Even if they're bad at it?
Even if they're bad at it, especially if they're bad at it, as long as it gives them value.
So your gripe with him is that he has a hobby that he doesn't like.
Correct. You don't need to like leave the world and go into the fucking woods. Just find a hobby you like, man.
Okay. I think there's a lot to unpack there, and I don't care to spend the time to do so. I don't think you can get mad at the guy for being a rapper.
I'm not mad at him for being a rapper. I'm mad at him for not liking his own hobbies.
I mean, as far as the girlfriend thing goes, which, by the way, this is the first time we're bringing up the girlfriend.
What? There's yeah, nothing to say.
Total footnote in the movie.
He's a big dick to her.
I mean, Izzy, she was like very lukewarm on the fact of whether or not they were even dating in the first place.
I think we've already said too much about the fact that that exists in this
okay.
film.
We've already talked about it longer than the movie did.
Okay.
So.
I mean, I don't know. I think he's. I don't think he's a hateable protagonist. I don't. There's nothing negative about him. He's exactly meh. It's the death of a salesman. It's a life unlived.
Oh my God. If I have to.
The death of a salesman is about the most famous loser in the history of American literature.
This guy's kind of a loser.
If I have to pick a side.
Biff Loman is a. And I
if
hate
I have
him.
To pick a side, I am pro this guy because I thought that the stuff that he put together for his manager when he was asked to come in on a weekend was hilarious ad campaign stuff. So.
That's why I hate this guy. I could like him.
That's
He's
why you
charming.
Hate him. That was hilarious.
I hate this guy because of how much I could like him.
Squandered potential. Squandered
I think
potential.
Jack,
just like this movie.
Lurd.
Whoa.
Oh, my God. Who would you recommend this to?
People who like to go camping.
People who are super deep into horror.
God,
and
we
want,
we
like, you
say
know,
that
people who
every
looking.
Single time. We have to
I
stop.
Know, but...
That can't be our go-to.
But it's so like, true with this one in particular.
It's like when we were doing the why would you recommend this? Why would you not recommend this? And we always just defaulted to a great movie to put on the background of a party.
I mean, that's a valid thing.
But this is this not. Is no, not well, this is expressly
not that.
That.
Almost we
could
we have
not
the same
be different
things we
than
go
that.
Every time.
The I mean,
we put the kibosh on super deep horror.
No, nah, this is like the I don't know if it's the end boss of. People getting fucked with in the woods movies, but it's definitely going to be one of the ones that you are least likely to have seen. And
sure,
it's damn shame if you haven't. If you like that type of movie, make sure that you have seen it. If you're listening to this, I fucking hope you've already seen it because my God, it's ruined.
What's
otherwise.
The one where they're up in Sweden?
The Ritual?
The Ritual, yeah. If you like The Ritual, probably like this.
Sure. Yeah.
Probably. The Ritual's got a lot more going on.
Yeah.
Here, though.
If you watch The Ritual and you're like, I like this, but I wish it had a lot less going on narratively.
I mean,
you'd like this.
There are so many. There are so many, yeah.
Nah, just those two.
Just those two, yeah.
The Prophecy also.
The Prophecy for sure. Blair Witch, maybe.
Let's get the fuck out of here.
Should we get the fuck out of here?
See, Jake is falling asleep. I thought giving him the cupcake earlier would give him enough of a sugar
it's
rush.
Sugar,
like,
it, no, it's
like
a crash.
It did, but that sugar rush only lasted 15 minutes. Yeah, now he's crashing.
Sorry. I set you up for failure, Jake.
God, this is why I don't eat sweets. This has been episode 287 of the A to Z Horrorcast. If you're still here hanging out with us and you like what we got going on, our links are down there in the descriptions. Those are fucking dwindling at this point, but that music that you're hearing is coming at you as it always has been from Super Bear. Link, like I just said, right down there in the description below. Next week, we got a Mark pick coming at you. It is a Cronenberg from, I think you said, 1987?
77.
77. That's 87, I was going to say. It's like a recent one. I thought it was older. Rabid. It's going to be coming at you next fortnight, next time on the podcast. Looking forward to seeing this. I don't know that I've seen this in one sitting. So
I've never seen it. I watched the Soska Sisters remake, and I wanted to watch it.
It's a Cronenberg film.
It'll
be good to talk about. Until then, get your buddies, grab some beers, and go watch some horror movies. Have a great fortnight, everybody.
And three quarters of a loon is two thirds of a fortnight.